The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Monday's edition where we're looking ahead to the action at Chelmsford, Thirsk and Windsor. On this edition you'll hear every race live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm in the company of Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and John Budden on Monday afternoon, bringing you the three domestic meetings as well as the Irish card at Roscommon. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to the day's action is Rory Delaghi. Hello Rory.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
I'm not too bad.
Good stuff. Let's start with a quick recap of Saturday's action. Of course, William Hill Great St Wilfrid Day headed the bill from Ripon. The race won by, name it what you like, for Brian Smart and Connor Beasley, beating second Intisab for David O'Meara. Firstly, Rory, the winner wasn't one that was wholly fancied in the morning, and it marks another remarkable comeback for Connor Beasley, who's obviously recovering from a very nasty injury indeed, and a big race win for him.
Yeah, he had that horrible fall at Wolverhampton, Connor, and it's been a tough road back. Plenty suggested that he might struggle to make any kind of comeback at all, or if he was, it was just a case of going through the motions, but to gain a big race success like this, and for an outside yard as well,
yes,
which is crucial, was a big moment for Connor. Obviously a tremendously competitive handicap, as it always is, and Name It What You Like was one of the outsiders, although, you know, like half the field, very much gettable on the pick of his form from last season, but there were a lot of horses who came in there in good form, and he happened to get the run of things and got a good ride from Connor Beasley to come home a neck in front. The runner-up was probably a little bit unlucky,
yes,
in that he was seemingly well drawn very high, but he ended up faring best of those horses who were drawn right on the stands rail, running on strongly late to go down only narrowly, and he's probably the one to put in the notebook.
Yeah, certainly is. Visually a very impressive finish, and a late rattle from Intisab just couldn't get there, beaten in second place by a neck, with Baccarat further back by a head for Charlie Appleby and Kevin Stotts. What's the future hold for those horses that finished first, second and third then, Rory? Are they likely to plunder further big handicaps later in the season?
It's pretty much the same scenario for horses who run in the big races at Ripon on this weekend. A possible trip to Doncaster for those effective at the slightly shorter trip for the Portland, which is 5.5 furlongs. And then it's the Air Silver, Air Gold Cups at the Western meeting in Air.
Yes.
It's pretty much mapped out for you if you're a decent handicapper. And, you know, even if you're not going to get into the big race, we always have a consolation there. Yesterday, the Silver Trophy and Air now have two consolation races, the Silver Cup and the Bronze Cup. So that's pretty much set in stone.
Yes, indeed. Let's look back on some of the action at Newbury as well. We had a couple of decent group races on their card, highlighted by the Group 2 Hungerford Stakes, and a bit of a turn-up for the books there. Well, a massive turn-up for the books, given that the outside of the party, Richard Pankhurst, landed the Group 2 prize for John Gosden and Rab Havlin. Obviously won the Chesham as a two-year-old, Rory, and was, of course, one-time favourite for some of the classics. Showed nothing as a three-year-old. Hasn't showed a great deal so far as a four-year-old. A real surprise to see him bounce back to something like his form when he was a very exciting two-year-old.
Well, probably a career best effort,
yes,
really. I mean, the Chesham, for all it's got a big press recently, it's only a listed race,
yes,
and it's confined to horses by sires who've won over at least a mile and a quarter. So it's one of the weaker two-year-old races at the Royal Meeting. It does have a tendency to throw out impressive winners and horses who promise to stay the Derby trip at three. So Chesham winners do tend to get topped up quite well. To be honest, we hadn't heard an awful lot of Richard Pankhurst since. He did win a small conditions race on his belated comeback,
yes,
at three, but that came after the classic season was over, and he failed to go on from that in a couple of group races. Beaten out of sight, well, I say out of sight, he'd beaten almost 10 lengths, but finished last at Goodwood on his most recent start, and most people were happy to put a line through him and say that he'd gone at the game, but you can never write off John Gosden. And Richard Pankhurst, from nowhere, finds his best form. It was a strange sort of race, but he travelled very strongly to win by a length in the end. The runner-up, Home of the Brave, looked a strong favourite. Yes. He was the only pace in the race. He looked guaranteed to be able to dictate affairs on ground that he likes as well. He rather dropped himself out with a furlong and a half to go and then ran on again late to get second. I'm not entirely sure he was putting it all in. So not the strongest Group 2 race we'll ever see. Dark Emerald, who's a doughty performer yes. for Brendan Powell, finished third. Pretty weak for the grade, and we're not looking at horses who are going to be flying the banner later in the season. But fair play to John Gosden for getting Richard Pankhurst back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. Godolphin 1-2 there, and as Rory quite rightly points out, Home the Brave popped out, tried to make off from the front as he does, but always he felt had a target on his back from Richard Pankhurst. Always seemed to be able to reel in the Hugo Palmer trained individual, Home of the Brave. That's the Hungerford Stakes then at Newbury, the Group 2. Just before we move on to look at Monday's racing, Rory, was there anything else massively caught the eye on Saturday?
Not really, in short.
It wasn't the greatest Saturday.
No, it's not. Even though you've got a couple of group races. The Jeffrey Freer was a decent contest. Very, very good ride on the winner there, King's Fate, who had an obvious chance.
Yes.
But just showed off Pat Smullen's skills. Not a horse, I don't think he's ever made the running before. And there was a question as to how he would settle behind a modest pace. But Pat Smullen took that out of the equation entirely by taking him to the front and dictating and winning impressively. But in terms of the quality of racing on the weekend, it was a little disappointing for what we had.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. We'll look forward then to some of Monday's races. We've got one from Chelmsford, two from Thirsk and one from Windsor to take in on this edition of the podcast. We begin with Chelmsford's 3:30 on the Polytrack there, of course, and this is a condition stakes over 7 furlongs, a Class 3 event which has attracted 5 runners, and they look a fairly tight-knit bunch, Rory. Chances can be given to the majority of the quintet.
Yeah, plenty of these have been running in group and listed company. A few catch in the eye. Mitchum Swagger was a big eye catcher in the Royal Hunt Cup last time out. Buckstay has been running and had been running in all the top handicaps between 6 furlongs and a mile, and took his chance in Group 2 company in the Lennox 6 at Goodwood, wasn't disgraced last time either. So it's a strong race of its type. I think there might be a little bit of a shock here, though. I think most of those at the head of the market are quite well suited by big field contests on turf. They wouldn't necessarily be as happy in a small field conditions race on Polytrack here. But one who will is Dean Ivory's mare, Golden Amber, who's a dual course winner. She comes here having been well beaten in 3 of her 4 starts, or 2 of her 3 starts this season, rather, finishing last on a reappearance at Newmarket when the stable was bang out of form, and again last at York last time out. But that came in a Group 3, which would be beyond her. She wasn't beaten an awfully long way there. And prior to that, she'd finished a good second in a similar contest to this at Newmarket. She will give her running here, and I think one or two who are better than her may not do. And as a result, she might just be the value option in the race. The other one that I considered in the contest is Atlantic Sun, who's probably still going the right way. He's been beaten in all 5 starts this season, but he's not running at all badly. And Richard Hannan books Sylvester D'Souza, which is an unusual booking for Hannan. Sylvester rides Chelmsford extremely well, and that would be the danger for me at the prices. But Golden Amber represents some value.
Okay, yeah, Golden Amber then, the outside of the lot on the early tissue for that 3:30 at Chelmsford, gets the pick for Rory. We go to Thirsk now for a couple of races there on the turf at Thirsk. Of course, we begin with the 3:45. This is a 5 furlong sprint handicap. 12 runners go down for this, so a nice shape to this sprint, Rory. What caught the eye?
Well, there's one that's been catching the eye for quite a while here. And you keep thinking that he must have come to the end of his run, but I would say that that might not be the case with Seamster, who was a winner over course and distance last week, putting up a career best effort at the age of 9. He just keeps pulling out big performances. He's better drawn than most here in stall 11 of 12. On paper, you tend to want to be near that stand side rail. He's fairly adaptable in terms of tactics, often held up, but went forward last time over this course and distance. Quite a lot of hold-up horses in this race and no absolutely guaranteed pace. So he'll be better suited than most to how it's run. And he's developed a very good relationship with young Cameron Noble, the £7 claimer, who's ridden him in all his recent starts. His performances are backed up by the clock. He's put up half a dozen really solid time performances, which means that you can't underrate his performance. And although there are one or two of these on their day who are better than him on the clock, the bottom line is that he continues to churn out solid performances, and therefore he's going to be the solid option again. If he's an each-way price, then there's no reason why you shouldn't back him in that manner.
Okay, it seems to then the 9-year-old gets the pick for Rory, has to shoulder a £6 penalty, but as you quite rightly pointed out there, Cameron Noble negating that with his £7 claim. That's the pick in the 3:45 at Thirsk. We stay at Thirsk then for the next race on today's podcast. This is their 5:15, a mile handicap this time. 18 runners go down for this class four. A big field to sort out. Rory, who are on the shortlist?
You can make a shortlist of about 10 here, yes, to be honest. But I've decided to knock it down to two, Trinity Star and Throckley. Throckley is a horse that I've got a lot of time for in terms of, I believe that he'll pay his way as a handicapper. He doesn't have the depth of form that some of these do in this contest, but he impressed in the manner of his victory in a maiden race at Haydock a couple of starts ago, and then he was just a bit too free in one of those races on the ladies' night at Carlisle. It wasn't disgraced. That was his handicap debut of a mark of 80. I'd have liked to have seen the handicapper drop him a couple of pounds for it, but I still think he could be capable of winning off that sort of mark. He's drawn a stall one, which is certainly not a bad draw at Thirsk. I think there is often value in backing horses drawn very wide over a mile in big fields. If you've got the know-how of the track and you've got the judgment to keep your horse wide on the track and make your move at the right time, that's often the place to be. But if you're going to be drawn low, be drawn one. In fairness, right, Throckley's probably going to be held up towards the inside, and it's up to his rider to find a route through. You don't want to try to come through on the rail from behind at Thirsk. That's a disaster. So that probably puts me off making him the selection in the race. But one who is drawn very well and has a jockey who knows the track better than anyone is Trinity Star. Paul Mulrennan rides for Michael Dodds. He ran well two starts ago at Pontefract, a track he handles well, but he also goes reasonably well at Thirsk. He was a close fourth over this course and distance back in May. Didn't really give us running last time out, but I think you can forgive him one run. He's drawn one from the outside, but as I said, Mulrennan rides this course and distance very well. He won't be panicking. He won't be taking a pull and trying to bring the horse across the inside as some inexperienced jockeys do. He will keep him reasonably wide on the track, allow him to run his own race, and then launch him down the middle of the course. That's where the best of the ground is, in the straight at Thirsk, essentially. And those towards the inside are a little bit vulnerable. So if Mulrennan can judge it right, then Trinity Star has got every chance. He's probably going to be slightly overpriced because stall 17 of 18 looks a... looks a poor draw, but if you look at the history of big field handicaps on this sort of ground at Thirsk, you find quite a lot of winners coming from very wide stalls.
Okay, Trinity Star then for Michael Dodds and Paul Mulrennan is Rory's pick in the 5:15 at Thirsk. We move to the feature race on Windsor's card, now the feature race of the day really, on Monday. This is the 7:30, the Sprint Series Finale Handicap. 6 furlongs is the trip for these 14 runners contesting it. Best part of £50,000 on offer to the winner. And as you'd imagine for a race of this nature, Rory, a smattering of course and distance form is on offer. Who have you narrowed it down to?
I've narrowed it down to one.
Good.
Which is always slightly worrying.
Yes.
There's a horse in here who's a bit of a head scratcher. It's difficult to know when he's going to show his best form, other than when he runs at Windsor. He always runs his race, got a very good record at the track, and that is Rio Ronaldo, who's been running well at Ascot in his last couple of starts. But he's run 5 times at Windsor, 3 wins and a second from those 5 runs. Always puts his best foot forward for whatever reason here. Got the best speed figure in the race as well from this track. So with conditions in his favour, I thought he's the only one you can really go for, in my opinion. It's a very open race on paper. You know, you can start looking into individual runners and making a case for the majority of the field. But the fact that Rio Ronaldo saves his best form for here has remained reasonably well handicapped. He's only £1 higher than when a good second here earlier in the season, and has run well since at a track that he doesn't always run quite so well at. Then I think he's got tons in his favour. Oshin Murphy rides for Mike Murphy. Stall 12 should not be an issue for him, and I expect him to go very close.
Okay, strong vote then for Rio Ronaldo in the 7:30 at Windsor. Oshin Murphy there taking the ride on board. That one, just quickly spin us through, please, one more time, Rory. 4 selections for the races we've looked at on Monday.
Certainly, it's 3:30 at Chelmsford. I'm with the outsider Golden Amber. I expect Seamster to continue his tremendous run this season in the 3:45 at Thirsk. Trinity Star, I hope, can overcome a wide draw in the 5:15 at Thirsk, and course specialist Rio Ronaldo is the pick in the 7:30 at Windsor.
Thank you very much. There we are then, thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Monday's racing, which you can hear live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. We'll have every race covered from Chelmsford, Thirsk, Windsor and indeed Roscommon with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and John Budden in the studio, so do join us for all of that on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for that, Rory. Enjoy the action and best of luck with the bets.
Thank you very much.